give no evidence whatsoever of being a child of God. None whatsoever. They seem to have lost all feeling, lost all interest in the gospel, and almost seem to be hardened rather than softened by the message. You ever been there? Are you there? Anybody there? Yet if they are one of God's own, God won't leave them there. He won't do it. This is the good news. But He will in due time send a word to stir them up out of their indifference. Send, like He did with Isaiah, a coal, a live coal from the altar to melt their cold heart. A heart that once seemed unmeltable. That's a word. A word in season. A timely word. A word in time, just in the nick of time. And this may be it for somebody here. You know, sometimes misery loves company, and it's especially true of God's Word. Sometimes that which helps us is to just see somebody else in the same condition we're in. You know what I mean? When you see from God's Word one of God's true choice saints, like Job here, when you see him in the same condition that you feel yourself to be in, you think, well, maybe there's some hope for me after all. I thought God left me alone. You know how we read David over and over again, how David says, God's left me. You ever been there? Surely he's left me now. David, how many times? Seemed like every time you turn around, David was saying that. And sometimes that's a help to us just to hear and to see that other people get in the same mess we get into. And God delivers them all. He delivers them out of all their problems. Job 29:2. Job is talking to his friends here, and he says, he cries out from the bitterness of his own heart. And he says, oh, that I were as in months past. I wish it was like it was, he said. I sure wish it was like it was. I wish it felt like it used to feel. Anybody in here that's saying that maybe right now? I don't know. If you haven't, if you aren't, you will. If you're not now, you have. Somebody, is there anybody in here like that who looks back on the past, the early days of your spiritual life as being the good old days? Might have just been a couple of years ago. The good old days. A time when you felt nearer to the Lord, but now you feel like you've wandered so far away, perhaps to the point of no return. Here's a few cases, a few complaints. This is the complaints of God's people. This is what happens. You feel like you've lost all evidence, all evidences of being a child of God at all. Old John Newton got to that point time and time again. He wrote this. "'Tis a point I long to know, and it causes me anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? If I do love Him, why am I thus? Why this dull and lifeless frame, like we sung in that song? Hardly sure can they be worse who never ever heard His name. Could my heart so hard remain and prayer a task and a burden prove? And every little problem give me pain if I knew the Savior's love? When I turn my eyes within, all is dark and vain and wild. I'm filled with unbelief and sin. Can I deem myself a child? If I pray or hear or read, sin is mixed with all I do. You that love the Lord indeed, tell me, is it ever that way with you? Yet I mourn my stubborn will. I find my sin a grief and a thrall. Should I grieve for what I feel if I did not love at all? Could I enjoy his saints to meet and choose the way that I once abhorred and find at times the gospel sweet if I did not love the Lord? And then he appeals, the only one that can decide it. Lord, decide this doubtful case. Thou who art the people's son, shine upon this work of grace. Like David said, cause it to grow. Shine upon this work of grace, if indeed it is begun. Let me love thee more and more, if I love at all, I pray, if I have not loved before. Let me start loving you today. You've lost all evidences of all feeling or whatever you want to call it. You say with Job here, oh, that I were as in months past. There was a time when you didn't doubt your salvation so much. You knew you were a sinner, yet you were confident Christ was the Savior of sinners. You simply trusted Him. Now you don't seem to have any assurance at all of being saved. And what this is the case, plain and simple, the case of one who was first a sinner and looked to Christ, but then in the end he got to looking somewhere else. Took his eyes off of Christ. That's what that is, plain and simple. You look to Christ for salvation before and you keep looking to Him from then on out. You never take your eyes off of Him. You never begin in the flesh or in the spirit looking to Christ and then you're made perfect by what you do. But this person may say, I used to think I believed Christ, but now I think I'm a hypocrite. I'm deceived. Oh, that I were as in months past. Another one is full of doubts and fears about everything. Could be somebody in here. This is especially prevalent of people in their older years, older age, the lonely years. It's especially prevalent of the older people. You used to be able to bow to God's sovereign grace. Whatever came along, you might could say with Eli, it's the Lord. But now it seems like whatever comes along, no matter what it is, no matter how small, it seems to upset you and trifle you and trouble you. Anybody in here like that? No matter how, what it is, it seems to bother you, trouble you. And you say, I have no faith at all. Oh, that I were as in months past. And somebody else may have lost their enjoyment of worship and in hearing the gospel and the means of grace, scripture, prayer, and all these things. Somebody else may have lost all the joy, the enjoyment of worship and so forth. And you can say with Job, oh, that I were as in months past. Time when I went to church, I was so attentive. I was touched by every message I heard. It seemed like I never went out of there with a dry eye. I was touched with every message I ever heard. I could sing the songs. I could enter into reading the scriptures. I was anxious to go and be there. But oh, how I wish it were like it was. That I were as in months past. Now it seems like it's church. Find no sweetness in the message. The tears refuse to flow. The heart seems to be hard. And no emotions whatsoever. You ever been there? You go to church out of habit. Try to pray, there's nothing. Try to read, you don't get anything out of it. I don't care how good the message is, everybody else coming up to you, wasn't that wonderful? I didn't get anything. I'm telling you now, if you're not there now, you'll get there. You'll be there. We all go through it. And you say and you cry out, oh, that I were as in months past. I wish it was like as before. And somebody else may have lost the tenderness. Listen to this. Now listen. Somebody else may have lost tenderness of conscience that you once had. There's a time when you guarded against every sin, every thought, every action, every appearance of evil. Your conscience was tender about everything. You were careful about everything. Even to the point where people called you a legalist. Whatever you saw in God's Word, oh, that's it, and I don't want to do that. People saw he's being too legalistic. No, he's just tender. Just tender to God's Word. Tender to sin. Whatever came along. Yet, one by one, he let them in. You give an inch, and they took a mile. Right? Until finally it seems like you're full of besetting sins. And you see no way out. And you cry out like Job. Oh, that I were as in months past, when I had a tender conscience. And it could be somebody else lost all their zeal for God and His gospel. Now, see if this isn't some of you. There was a time when you told everybody that came around what the Lord had done for you. You'd get on a soapbox at every opportunity. You'd argue with whoever came along about the things you believed so adamantly. You remember arguing with them. You esteemed all of God's precepts concerning all things to be right, and you hated every false way, and you let everybody know about it. You seem to be touched. You seem to be concerned about other people. Now you feel like a coward, a whipped puppy. Slightest Arminian come along, you scared to death say a word. You feel like you're a disgrace to your Lord and to His service. And you're made to cry out, I sure wish it was like it was. Anybody ever been there? Well, here's some causes of this. Here's some causes and the cures. Causes. Number one, got some of these from old Charlie. Charles Haddon. Here's number one. Here's one thing. A defect in calling upon God and looking into God's Word. Prayer and study. Prayer and study. These are means of grace that God Almighty has used for our comfort, for our assurance, for our growth, our spiritual growth, for communion with God. These are the means of communion with God. Hearing the gospel, reading, praying, and so forth. And there was a time, perhaps to you, when prayer and study used to be a delight, a time when it was commonplace to you. You didn't think anything about it, really. It wasn't habit or duty. You just delighted in doing it. Huh? I remember when the Lord first started dealing with me, I couldn't read enough. I couldn't read enough. Everything I got my hands on, I read. I remember going through Spurgeon's New Park Street and underlining everything that touched me. And I had the whole thing underlined. Every sermon, every line, every page was underlined, you know. It was, wetted with my tears, you know. Every word of God seemed to touch me. I remember reading everything, listening to tape, couldn't get enough tape. I remember talking to God like a man does his friend. And you didn't think about it. You don't think about it so much, about the form that is. Talking to God is not getting down on your knees, closing your eyes, bowing your head. Where does it say that in the Scripture? Huh? Minnie and I were talking about this the other day. We were sitting at the table and sitting there, and Hannah said, aren't we going to say blessing or give thanks? And I said, you know, so this is where all these religious traditions and things get started. Get started at an early age. What she meant was, aren't we going to bow our heads, close our eyes, and say a few words? And I told her, Hannah, you know, you don't have to do that to thank God. I said, you can just thank God right here. So let's do that. Let's just thank God. Thank you, God. Thank you for the food. And You know, early on, you don't think so much about the form and all. You just did it. You just did it. There's nothing that brings leanness to a soul like a lack of private prayer and worship, much like a relationship between a man and a wife or parents and their children. There's nothing that brings leanness, brings a breakdown, than a lack of communication. When you stop talking, you got problems. Your imagination runs wild, and soon it may be you may run wild. Right? Nothing brings a leanness to the soul like a lack of prayer and worship. It could be somebody in here, you used to be lean in this world but felt rich toward God. Now, you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing but the one thing needful. You may have lost your first love. Now you got everything your heart's to desire but the one thing needful. And you want to rekindle that, Barnard called it that sweetheart love for Jesus. That honeymoon love. Y'all remember your honeymoon? Or has it been too long? Do you remember that courting your wife? Has it been too long? Huh? Have you left off talking to your bride? That's what we do. We leave off talking to our husband. Left off talking to the Lord. There was a time when the disciples tried to cast out a demon that got in this fellow, you know. And they came to the Lord and said, Lord, we couldn't cast him out. You remember his answer? You remember what he said? Huh? He said, you don't have much faith, but he said, howbeit, albeit, this kind goeth not out, but what? By prayer and fasting, didn't it? Well, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer. Secondly, a poor appetite, bad eating habits will get you into a sorry state. Listen to this. Now, listen to me carefully. George Whitefield said this. This George Whitefield, this man... quite a long time ago. You think I said this, but he did, but I didn't. George Whitefield said this. He said, farewell to the man who does not worship God during the midweek services. See him later. You mean they had Wednesday night services back then and people who, that's what he said. Farewell to the man who doesn't worship God during the week. It's generally the case that just before somebody leaves the gospel completely, they begin to put off services one by one. How many times have I gone over this? First Wednesday. Now, God knows. We don't answer to any man. God knows when we can and cannot. But first Wednesday, and then it comes to Sunday night, and then it's the Bible lesson, then it's all together. Y'all seen it here, hadn't you? Sure you have. But perhaps for some people, it's a temporary relapse. Perhaps. Some people get into this temporary sickness. Don't presume it, though. Don't anybody in here presume that it's just merely a sickness. Spurgeon said this. He said, God gives milk on Sunday. He said he gives pails full of milk on Sunday to God's people. Pails full, big buckets full of milk. But he says, on Wednesday night, he skims off cream. Is that right? I thought last Wednesday night, we just had the cream. Skimmed right off the top. Buttermilk. Now, you may not like buttermilk. But you say with Joe, oh, that I were as in months past. I couldn't get to services early enough. I went everywhere, anywhere, at all times, wherever the gospel was preached. I was there. And I tell you again, let me remind you once more, folks, this gospel is all you've got in this old world. It's all you need. It's all you have, and it's all you need. And it'll meet your every need. Christ. The message of Christ and Him crucified is the only thing that will get you out of this mess you're in. And here's another thing, another cause, idolatry, or you want to call it idolatry, call it worldliness. Scripture says covetousness is idolatry, worldliness. Christ plainly said, he says, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. Idolatry, worldliness. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You'll either hate the one or you love the other, right? Or you love the one, hate the other. You just can't do it. You can't set your heart in two places. No. A double-minded man is unstable in all his way. He won't love this or that. He'll be lukewarm and God spew him out of his mouth. Right? And God is jealous, and he'll leave you to that you seem to love the most. And many give themselves over to the world. They set their affection on things below and not on things above. Many people seek first the kingdom of the world and then afterward. It's not the way it's supposed to be, folks, is it? That's not the way it is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Right? If we make a golden calf, listen to this. If we make a golden calf, and that's what all these toys are for us. We make a golden calf and start worshiping it. God will make us drink it later on. If we're his, he'll grind it to powder like Moses did and make us drink it later on. Did you read that? Did you read that quote in the bulletin by Matthew Henry? That which is now our idol may quickly become our burden. Child, maybe. And we know not how soon we may be sick of what we were lately sick to have. Well, I know. You know. Some of you know. You had your heart set on something or someone and just made you sick until finally you got it. And then you really got sick. You really got sick. Made you, Lord made you sick of it. And wish he had never had it. Oh, that I were as in months past. Here's another thing that will get us in this condition. Self-righteousness. Boy, this will do it. Self-righteousness. Get to know him a little bit. Got a little bit of doctrine down pat, you know. Get a little relief from sins. Get a little victory, you know, over this or that and the other. Get a little gifts in prayer. How about that, fellas? Lord bless you with a little prayer. Somebody said, well, it was good prayer. It was, wasn't it? God no more heard that. Huh? Ah, you got a gift of prayer. Everybody tells you so. Must be a believer. Look at you. Listen to you. I must. Oh, you might be in a miserable condition, miserable state. You might be the farthest from God. God, like I said, like the Scripture said, dwells with a broken and contrite heart, tremblers at his word. Not theologians. God doesn't dwell with theologians. God dwells with broken-hearted sinners that tremble at his word. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. Oh, that I were as in months past. Well, those are some causes. Now, here's a cure. Here's a cure. Oh, that I were as in months past, Job said. As in the days when God preserved me, when his candle, when his Holy Spirit shined upon my head, when by his light, that his word, I walked through the darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when I constantly dwelt upon these things, the gospel was in my heart. Oh, that I were as in months past. Well, how were you in months past? Let me ask you that. How were you? How were you? How did you first feel yourself to be when you first heard the gospel? Huh? How were you? How did you first feel yourself when you first heard the gospel? A dirty, vile, wretched, filthy, rotten, no good, hell-deserving, worthless sinner. Huh? Is that it? Is that how you, when you first heard the gospel, that's what you heard? And when you heard the gospel, it gave you such peace and comfort? Well, how are you now? Are you changed? Are you any different? You're still a dirty, rotten, no good, worthless, helpless, hopeless sinner. in need of mercy, that mercy we talked about this morning. And the problem may be, that last one I gave, this thing of self-righteousness, you may have just lost sight of the fact. I'm telling you, I know it's so in my own experience. You get to know it, you get becoming too puffed up. Too puffed up. And a little relief from these things. God, Satan, sin and all doesn't beset you quite so much as it used to. And you become too big for your britches. Fat and sassy. That's what God admonished the church about. Now you say you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, right? Used to be hungry. Now you're full. You're full. Too knowledgeable. Used to didn't know much. You're like a hungry bird, you know, with your mouth open, listening to the simplest of things. Now we know too much. We learn too much. Used to be the gospel was fresh and new every morning, like manna. But after you got the manna for 40 years, commonplace. We loathe this light bread. Can't you give us something different, preacher? Huh? The gospel becomes familiar, and just like the flesh, familiarity breeds contempt, doesn't it? The flesh, that's what the flesh does. Old John Bunyan told in his Pilgrim's Progress, he told about a man who got in a cage. He was put in a cage, an iron cage, shut up in his cage. And somebody came along, a pilgrim or Christian or hopeful came along, saw this fellow in the cage. And he had his head hanging, had his head on the bar, hanging down, kind of beating his head on the bar. And hopeful said to him, "Why are you in there?" He said, "I got myself in this terrible mess. I'm in here, it's my own fault. Got out of the way, took my eyes off of the way to the celestial city and got in here. I deserve to be here." And hopeful said to him, "Well, won't you ever get out?" And the fellow said, "I don't think so. I think I'm going to be in here from now on." And hopeful Christian said, "Are you condemned forever?" The fellow said, "I think so. Forever." He said, "Why was this? Why is this?" The man said, "Well, I grieved the Spirit. I grieved the Spirit. And He's gone. I got out of the way. I departed from the paths of righteousness. And I ended up here, all locked up. All locked up." And he sat there, seeming like for an eternity, just rattling the bars. Anybody rattled any bars lately? Rattling the bar, bemoaning himself. Will this man get out? You know, the only way this man can get out, the book said somebody had come along and let him out. He got himself in the fine mess you've got us into. He got himself into it. Now there's no way out for this man, but except for somebody to come along with the key and unlock that thing and let him on out there. A shining one, it said. Someone mighty had to come along and let him out. And this is our only hope, our only plea. If we're going to get out of this cage we get ourselves into, we're going to have to cry out for help. We're going to have to cry aloud and spare not, the Scripture said. We're going to have to do like a bird. You know the only way a little bird's going to get out? He's too weak, too helpless. He's been caught by the snare. He's been caught and put in that cage. The only way a little bird's going to get out of there is it out of the kindness, the compassion, the tenderness, and the mercy of the one who owns that bird. And the best, the surefire way for that little bird to get out of that cage is to start singing. Huh? Start singing. Sing to the Master. Scripture says, "Knock, and it shall be open." Knock. Seek and you'll find. Ask and it shall be given to you. Knock and it shall be opened. Scripture says the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence and the violence take it by force. Rattle the bars. Sing. You remember that story Christ gave of the importunate widow over in Luke 18? Said she came to the unjust judge and she day and night asked him, "Would you avenge me? Please help me. Please help me." What did Christ say? He said, did you hear what the unjust judge did? The unjust judge avenged her. And he said, "Shall not God avenge his very own elect, which cry unto him day and night? Though he bear long with them, though he may leave them in the cage that they've got themselves into for a little while longer." They need to see what they've gotten into. And like I said, I don't know if anybody in here is like this or not right now. But you may be. Somebody may be. One person. If you are not now, you have been. If you have not been, you will be. You get yourself in a mess. And there's only one way to get out. And I saved the best for last. I saved last for best. For first. First for last. Alright? There's only one way to get out. That's look back to the one you looked to in the first place. Hopeful, and I keep bringing them up. Hopeful and Christian. They heard the evangelist. They were all, the old Christian was weighed down with that burden, you know, on his, had that burden on his back, and he finally got to the foot of the cross, you know, and the burden was cast off of him. And the evangelist, the man that preached the gospel, set him on the path and said, "Now you look toward the celestial city there, and you stay on that path. Don't go to the right, to the left. Don't fall asleep. Don't you stay right on that path. You head toward that city." And buddy, he did, you know, starting out afresh. "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's my only hope. If I just get to that city, if I can just get to that city." And he started out. And on that long and rough road, you know, it got steep, didn't it? Got rocky. Oh, and they'd get over in Doubting Castle, in the giant despair. They'd fall asleep in the chanted ground. They'd lose their role. They got into all kinds of trouble. They got in fights. Went to Vanity Fair, you know. Got locked up in a cage. And every time they'd have to be set right back on the path. Now, somebody come along to them again and say, "Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten where you're headed? Look now. Do you forget? Look to that celestial city. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. That's who you look to at first. And that's who you're going to have to look to again. Somehow or another, you've gotten your eyes off of Him." And all of these things that we dealt with, prayer, reading the Word, fellowship of the saints, hearing the gospel and so forth, self-righteousness, all these things in some way or another relate to the gospel, to the gospel of Christ. The gospel. After all, who is it we pray to but Christ? He's the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Prayer. Reading the Scriptures. Who do we look for in the Scriptures? The Bible's a closed book unless we see Christ in it, unless we look for Him in it. You go to the window to seek more light. If you run out of light, you go to Christ to seek light in the Word. Hearing the gospel, if you don't hear Christ preach to you, you go away empty. You go away empty. Not having been fed the bread of life. Listen to this song. Let's turn to number 75. We're going to sing this, Sherry. 75. There's a song that says, "Oh soul, are you weary? Are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? Well, there's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free." And we need to look afresh to Christ. Look to Him. Somehow we've taken our eyes off of Him and the one thing needful and gotten all taken up with this world or our problems or whatever it may be. And we've left off the means of grace that God has ordained for our help, our strength, our hope, our comfort, our assurance, our peace. We've left off these things that speak of Christ. And this is the prayer. This is my prayer. This is one of my favorite songs. I want you to sing this at my funeral. Okay? Y'all remember this. I want this sung at my funeral. Because this is my prayer day in and day out. This is what my heart desires. That He'll abide with me. Because when He leaves me, as well He should, hides His face from me, as well He should, I need Him to abide with me. All right, let's stand and sing some of this. Close ebbs out life's little day, a short day, and earth's joys grow dim and its glories pass away. Change and decay and all around I see, O thou who changest not, abide with me. Sing a third verse.
I need thy presence every passing hour.
Last verse.
Hold thou thy word before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the sky. Vain shadows.
Keep us for a few days until we meet back again, and keep us looking to You and searching, seeking You where You're to be found, that is in Your Word, in communion with Thee. Lord, leave us not to ourselves. We'll fall back into a pit, fall back into our wayward ways. And Lord, keep us clinging to You and our minds off this world, but stayed on Thee, and then bring us back to hear about Christ again. If it can be Your will and Your glory for the good of Your sheep, amen. You're dismissed.